Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the International Masterminds Blog Talk Radio Show. My name is Kiana Robinson and I will be your host. I'm with Ajahnay Mason. We are the Young Millionaires in Action. We are so excited and energized this Sunday evening to be on air with all of you. So I invite you to call, text, or email a family member or friend and tell them that we are on air right now. Or they can join us via the internet by logging on to www.blogtalkradio.com/masterminders or by phone 661-554-9219. If you want to communicate with us while we are talking, just press 1 on your phone to ask the question, or you can join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account. Make a comment on our Facebook page and let us know you're listening. Before we get started, Ajahnay, will you tell our listeners a little bit about International Mastermind Association?
Good evening, everyone. The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and to hold one another accountable to what we commit ourselves to do. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, and creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. Successful people have plans, while failures never plan. Napoleon Hill said, "Education, knowledge, and influence is more powerful than any exchange of money." For more information about IMA, International Masterminders Association, visit us on the web at www.internationalmasterminders.com. or Facebook, International Mastermind Association. Follow us by liking our page. We want to say hi to the founder, president of IMA, Mrs. Ann McNeil, the master building masterminds. I am sure she is out there listening with all of you and may join us at some point during the broadcast.
Thank you, Ajahnay. You are listening to Yima, and our guest today is Dr. Fletcher. Dr. Fletcher, would you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started in your chosen field?
Good evening, everyone. I'll tell you a little bit about me. I got started, I don't know where to tell you, but because I've been on this journey for such a long time. First of all, let me say that I'm excited about this organization, and I'm truly excited because I am a guest for you, and I'm honored that you asked me, so let me say that first. The second thing I would like to say is that, you know, when you're talking about what I do, we'll just deal with the mother and daughter issue at the moment. And the way I got started on that was a spiritual call. God asked me to minister to mothers and daughters, and that began that's how my journey began. And from there, 1999 to this point, we've covered a lot of things. A lot of mother and daughters have been healed in the process. A lot of activity have taken place. And I've seen from 1999 to now where the world is beginning to become a better place. Because when I hear you talking about mastermind, the mastermind really starts in the mind of the mother. You know, the mother has the first opportunity to affect the child. And I'm going to say child because, you know, we focus on mothers and daughters, but of course mothers have sons as well, which create our sons and our fathers. But the mastermind begins, the mastermind strategy, the thoughts, the process from conception. And from that to this point, we are being able to use that same concept to help mothers and daughters to build a better relationship. Even if you have, you know, some mothers and daughters may say, you know, I have a great relationship. That's good. But every mother and daughter relationship can be taken to a different spiritual level, meaning that we all are not perfect. So with that imperfection, we are all in the position to go to greater heights in the relationship and get all that God intended for us to have. And I'm going to break there just in case if you want to say something.
No, you're good.
Okay. Well, in 1999, well, I'll start back at 97, God said to me, I was on the beach in Daytona Beach, and God said to me, I have an assignment for you, and it's going to be your last assignment. Well, in the beginning, when I heard that, I got a little nervous, because when someone says your last assignment, you know, you're thinking you're going to get an assignment tomorrow, you may be out of here the next day or two. But I said, well, God, are you saying that I'm going to leave? It's time for me to leave? And it was like a no. But it took 2 years for me to get the assignment. And the time, what I call my period of waiting, actually gave me time to think. And I was like, wow, when is he going to give me the assignment? What is it going to be? I had no idea. And see, God moves in a mysterious way. So you never know when he's coming, and it's always going to be a surprise, and it's always going to be right on time. So you just kind of, when you least expect, when you're not conscious of whatever thought or whatever thing that you think you want, that's when he slips right in, and bam, he surprises you. Well, I was in New Hampshire in Bedford training for a client of mine, and all of a sudden I'm sitting there looking at a magazine, and I hear the words of God speaking over my shoulder, saying, I want you to start ministering to mothers and daughters, to start the first mother and daughter conference, and to open up the first mother and daughter bonding center. And I actually turned around because it seemed so real at the moment. Well, it's not a stranger. I'm not a stranger to that conversation with God. I've had it since I was a child. But I actually physically turned around, looked over my left shoulder, as if I knew he was standing there. And I said, wow, that's a good one, God. Because I thought, I haven't heard anybody doing anything with mothers and daughters. But later to discover that there are parts of mother and daughter activities that are happening around the world. But God chose me as the mother of mothers and daughters. And what does that mean? That means he has chosen me to hold the umbrella so that all mothers and daughters and all the parts of mother and daughter activities, we can come under one umbrella, and that is where we're going to find that shelter. That's where the mother and daughter spirit is going to come together. That's where the healing will take place for the world. Now, mothers are the nurturers, and it's through the canal of the mother's belly and the womb, and it's through that water that that child comes. But those 9 months are very important 9 months. Those 9 months will give the mother an opportunity to utilize her mastermind, to master her thoughts. And it depends on the thoughts that she's processing during those 9 months will determine a lot when it comes to the personality and the thoughts of the child once it's born. Because that mother, whatever she thinks, whatever she eats, drinks, hear, speak, that child is connected. So therefore, being influenced. So if a mother is having a rough 9 months and she's going through turmoil and unhappiness, then you may have a child that come out that might be crying, colicky, and just irritable. And you just say, I don't know what's wrong with this baby. Then I ask mothers to say to themselves, how was my journey? What was my journey like? What was my mindset as I traveled through those 9 months in carrying this child? Because it has a great influence. And it doesn't stop there. Once the child has entered into the world, now you have a bigger mastermind project because now you're in the physical. So not only are you dealing with the child from the mastermind and the spirit, You got to deal with the child through the mastermind and the spirit to affect the physical as well. So you got twofold. So that connection between that mother and that child, you got to be able to caress that child from the physical, but you also got to be able to caress that child from the mental. So not only is the mother mastering her mind and her thoughts, she's got to use it in a way that's just going to cultivate and master and nurture and mold the mind of the child. That's why a lot of times when we come to that thought, we said, you know, a young lady would say, I don't want to be like my mother. I help them turn it into my mother. Yes, because what you have are those seeds that have been planted, and they will start manifesting and the harvest will start developing. It will develop early. So between day one to day three, that's your time to mold mothers, that daughter or that son. That is the time, because at three, the child is more exposed to other children, other thoughts, other minds, other words, other visions, and then it creates their reality. So therefore, what you want to do is that you want to take that first day when that baby is placed in your arms and recapture that moment when you first look into her eyes. You want to recapture that every day. Don't let that go, because the moment you let that go, you disconnect from the child. Remember the times when you used to look into her eyes and you would explain something to her? You would make sure that your eyes met her eyes and that you had a connection. So when she answered you, you knew if she was telling you the truth. But it's the moment when you are so busy and your back is turned and you're talking to the child, you are not connected to the child. You're just speaking into the elements. So when you're talking about mastermind, it's the mind energy. One energy connects to another. But in order to connect the mind, you've got to really look into the eyes in order to get the real connection. So when you're mastering anything, you got to see it. You got to believe it in order to receive it. It's not going to happen if you don't see it on your mind's eye. So you got to always see that your child is in a certain place, always a place of success, good place, harmony, love, peace, joy. But you can only give that when your mind, mother, is mastered in a way. Because if you don't have it, you don't have it to give. And that's how the mother and daughter bonding center, that's the birth of it. That's the reason, that's the core, is to get mothers and daughters back to the mastermind where the mother and the minds of the daughters are one. And then that affects the whole family, which strengthens the next generation. If you put in negatives, you're going to get negatives. If you don't give that daughter what she needs, she will not be the lady of God that God intended her to be. She will not be able to produce a strong, healthy, godly family, because her daughter is going to be just like her. Her son will treat the woman in his life just like the relationship he has with his mother. Mother is the greatest influence. Mother has the power to make or break. I don't care. It could be a 40, 50, 80-year-old man. My father's 78 years old, and his mother's still living. She's 96.
Wow.
And well, to him, that's his mother. And he talks to his mother as if he was a young boy. Go ahead.
Wow. That's very interesting. We're actually going to go on a commercial break. Ajanae.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Masterminders Association. We are the Young Millionaires in Action. Our guest today is Dr. Bessie Fletcher. You can listen to this and other shows anytime on the web or join us live by calling into the show. 661-554-9219. If you want to communicate with us while we're talking, just press 1, or you can also join us in the chat room, or you can log on to your Facebook account.
Thank you, Ajane. Okay, the question I have for you, Dr. Fletcher, is how was your relationship with your mother, and do you think that that's what helped you now nurture other mothers and daughters with their relationship?
Well, my relationship with my mother, I thought, was just grand. You know, we all have our own personal hoo-ha for our mothers. I'm an only child, so my mother and I were very, very close. We did a lot of things together. But as I grew up, I understood things in a different way because I realized from the environment in which I grew up, Southern, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. You know, if my mother said something, even though we talked and we had communication, but if she said yes, it was yes. If she said no, it was no. And you couldn't convince her otherwise. Because what she said to me was that if I tell you yes, or if I tell you no, and I turn it around and say, okay, yes, because you know how kids are, they try to wear them down, the parent down, she said, then I have lied to you. So I always kind of learned how to phrase the question, and so I could get what I really wanted, because I didn't want her to say that no. And I learned, as I'm teaching mothers and daughters now, and I did that with my daughter, think before you answer, because if you take it back, the credibility with your child is less and less. So when I look back at it, I said, that was the greatest asset between my mother and I. When she told you something, that was it. You could take it to the bank. You didn't have to worry about it. Even if she told me I was someone's house and we're out visiting, whatever, she said, I'm going to spank you when you get home, you could count on that. So, of course, that ruined my whole day because I know I'm going to get the spanking because she said I'm going to get the spanking. So now all I can think about is that. I'm consumed with those thoughts. So my relationship with my mother taught me another thing is that I said yes to my mother when a lot of times I wanted to really have that conversation and get deep into the conversation for a deeper answer. But so I said, yes, ma'am. But I walked away a lot of times thinking, well, you know, I really wanted to get some other information. But I just left it like that. So now with my daughter, what I learned, and when I'm teaching mothers and daughters, make sure whatever it is that you have on your mind that you want to ask your mother, just let her know. I have some questions, and I really would like to talk to you, and I really would like to get the answers. Because my mother is dead now. She's gone home. And there's some questions that I didn't get the answer to that I look back now and wish that I had done it. But, you know, at the time when you're small, sometimes you're afraid that you get a spanking. I just think that there should be nothing that keeps a daughter or a son from talking to their mother or father. You should be able to go to them with every question that's on your heart, and you should be able to get an answer. And because of that, it lies in a dormant place where there's a lot of hidden secrets when people are not telling the truth, or I'll just curb the truth to keep from hurting the person. But in reality, it affects you as you grow up. Some of those things that I did not get answers, even when I was in my 40s, I should have stressed that I get the answer, and I didn't, have affected me. But I've learned to seek the answers, and I've gotten some of them from other places, but I didn't get it from my mother, who I really wanted to get it from, because that's all that mattered to me. So my relationship with my mother has been a great one. We communicated, but yet there was a door that you could not pass in certain areas, and that was just the way it was. And I grew up that way, yes, mother, yes, ma'am, and that was it. So it helped me now when I'm looking at parents to help them look at, you know, don't stop there. Don't say because I said so. And leave that as the final answer. Because that says nothing. Because I said so, what do you mean? Because she said so. Everybody knows that you're the mother. Everybody knows that you're the adult. But sometimes a child only come one time. And especially mothers out there that have a daughter that's 12, 13 years old, 9, 10, it takes a lot of energy, a lot of prepping, and the thoughts, you know, can I say this to my mother? Can I talk to my mother? I want to say this. I'm scared to tell her. And then they get enough nerve, and they come in and says, Mama, I need to talk to you about something. And the mother says, well, look, I don't have time now. Let's talk about it later. I'm busy. She may never come again because she mustered up all the energy she had to come, to face you, to ask the question, and was denied. And they'll say, oh, well, never mind, and walk away. And sometimes that's the breaking point in the mother and daughter relationship. That's the point where they say, you know what? She doesn't care about me. I can't ask her anything. She doesn't love me. See, then an interpretation starts forming in the mind of the child. And whatever interpretation she creates, everything that the mother does from that point on is built upon that. And everything that she does, the child will look at her and evaluate it on that because she says she doesn't care about me. She won't listen to me. I'm trying to talk to her. I have to go to my friend. I'm talking to a 14-year-old that don't know no more than me. So you got teenagers trying to mother other teenagers. And therefore, it's affecting the whole gamut of our future mothers, which are our daughters today. Does that make sense? Did that answer your question?
Yes, it actually did. Before I ask any other question, do we have anyone that wants to ask a question? If so, just press 1. Okay, Miss Stephanie.
Hi, good evening, Dr. Bessie. I've been listening to you talk about mother and daughter, and fascinating. While I don't have a daughter, I do have a niece, and I'm fascinated by the dynamics between mothers and daughters. But I wanted to ask a question regarding your book, The Dream Recipe, that you talk about teaching individuals how to manage their intra-conversation and the way to manage your life choices. How do you go about teaching them how do they manage their intra-conversation? How does that work?
Okay. Well, first thing I want to say to you, Stephanie, thank you for asking the question. The other is that you may not have a daughter, and this goes out to all the women that are on the line, but you are a daughter. See, every woman is a daughter. So, therefore, you still have that mother and daughter experience. Now that we got that out of the way, 1 second. Now that we got that out of the way, I'll answer your question. The question is about the dream recipe, the intro conversation, and how does that work? The intro conversation is that ongoing conversation that's in your head. Everybody has it. Now, you can't think of one person that doesn't have the intro conversation. So if everyone has the intro conversation, then that means what? That's very key. That's a key element that is one that God works with. God says, I will never leave you. And how does that work? No matter if you're in a coma, you can't talk, you will always be able to communicate through that conversation in your head. Now, that conversation in your head is your mastermind. That is your master key to create your dream recipe. Each of us have a baby dream inside of us. But we don't know how to get the baby dream out. We don't know how to birth that baby dream. In order to birth that baby dream, it starts with your thoughts. And your thoughts will create a vision. And then your vision will create your reality. And I back that up. It starts with your words. And then your words create your thoughts. And your thoughts create your vision. Now you got an opportunity to create a dream recipe. Everyone's dream recipe is unique. Mine is not like yours, and yours is not like Kayana's. Everybody's is different because you came with a baby dream seed inside of you. And when you cannot birth that baby dream, most people are miserable. You hear people say, I just don't know why. I can't find my way. I just don't know what to do. I try doing this work. I don't like it. I do this. I don't like it. Because God gave you a purpose. That's that baby dream. And until you go into the mind and master that intro conversation, you're never going to develop that dream. So with that meaning, I mean, you've got to be able to talk to yourself. And I know I'm a Christian clinical psychologist, and I know people have the joke, you know, you're crazy if you talk to yourself. Well, don't believe that. You've got to talk to yourself to talk your way through it. And you don't need a lot of opinions, because when you go out and you're getting an opinion from your cousin, you get an opinion from your girlfriend, your coworker, and your own opinion and whoever else, you mix all of those opinions together and you got some kind of hot product or something that you don't even know what it is. But if you could sit quietly and spend time with yourself, I tell people if you could just spend 7 minutes, it's in the book, 7 minutes of meditation, and just sit there and just say, I'm going to just work on birthing my baby. God, give me what I need to know. Give me the wisdom and the word, the thoughts, the vision of what this baby's going to look like. Now, once you start doing that, then all of a sudden you're going to start getting some thoughts. You start writing them down because those are your ingredients. But there's some things that you need to do before you can get the fullness, and people sometimes don't want to do that. You've got to start off with the pureness of love, because if you're not in a state of love, then you're going to get all kind of little signals that won't make sense to you. If you're not a Christian and you don't believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you're going to get mixed signals because you won't understand what you're getting. So there's certain things to write that dream recipe. See, the dream was given to you by the Creator. So in order to figure out what it's going to look like, what is your role, you got to go back to the Creator. You didn't create it, and then you don't know the ingredients. So you got to go to the source to write the ingredients. And the book is just an example that will allow you to look at a sample dream recipe. And you take one thing that you want to work on, and you work on that, and you follow those steps for 30 days. And it takes 21 days, psychologically stated, to change a thought or to change a behavior. But I added on 9 more days to that. So you're talking about 30 days to work on one thing. Once you've mastered that, then you'll take on the next one and the next one. And you don't deviate. You do the same thing. Because what you've done to create this, and I'll use this example. If a woman wants a dress and she's going to a special occasion, she will do whatever is necessary to get that dress. She saw that dress. She want to wear that dress. She looked at it. She's talked about it. She's seen herself in it. She gets it. She don't even have to try it on. It fits perfectly. The same strategies that you use to get that one thing that you want, use those same ingredients, not from a negative, from a positive, and start out on how to get that next baby dream out. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ms. Stephanie, for that question. We're going to go to another commercial break.
For more information about IMA, International Masterminders Association, visit us on the web at www.internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, International Mastermind Association. Follow us by liking our page. I'm Ajane Mason, and our guest today is Dr. Bessie Fletcher.
Thank you, Ajane. My next question for you, Dr. Fletcher, is from your perspective, do you think the different workshops you have and different events Do you think that mothers and daughters leave with a different attitude than when they came in?
Oh, I know that. I do. I've been doing this since 1999. And I've seen mothers and daughters come in not speaking. I've had mothers and daughters come in there, the daughter and the mother haven't spoken in 40 years. I've had the majority of the people that mothers and daughters that I deal with are 35 and older. A lot of people think that I'm dealing with a lot of teenagers, which I love to because, you know, I'm trying to affect them. Those are the ones we want to really get the change in. But we have a lot of mothers and daughters that are 35 that are coming into their own as a woman and saying, you know what, I have some questions, and I just need to get this right so I can be a better mother for my children. So I've seen them come in there, one daughter sitting on one side of the room and another, and the mother sitting on the other side. Within an hour, they're sitting up on each other. There has never been one mother or daughter that have entered into our workshop and left without being healed in their relationship. Now, I don't take credit for that. That is more than I can do as a human being. The Holy Spirit moves and takes over, and every mother and daughter that I have ever come encountered with were healed and walked away happy, elated, just in a whole different place. So I don't think so. I know so. God moves every time. Thank you for that question.
You're welcome. Are there any callers that would like to ask the question before I continue on? Okay, my next question is, do you believe that this organization has taken you someplace you thought you would never be?
Wow. Yes, it has. Yes, it has. It has taken me from the cotton fields, putting in tobacco, and I'm saying that literally too, ladies and gentlemen out there, because I'm just a Southern girl, hard worker. Now, this has not been an easy journey, and it's still a journey in progress. But I can say, even within the last week, God has showed up and showed out. My life has changed tremendously within the last 8 days. Took me places that financially and physically that I never dreamt was possible. But I was waiting on God. I knew. I traveled the distance. I went through. And a lot of the problems that I had in doing this on this assignment that God has given me with mother and daughters has been basically because I tried to do a little me and a lot of me and a little God. And I caused a lot of hardships for myself because I wanted to do a lot of social programs. Where God didn't call me to do a lot of social programs, he called me to minister to mothers and daughters. So when he shut me down for 3 years and worked with me, cut me off from everybody, took all the money away, just barely gave me gas to move around, I thought, God, where are you? Where are you? Why is this happening? And he finally had to say to me, if I gave you gas, you would be all over the place. I gave you money, you would go here, go there, shop, whatever. That's not what I want you to do. But he took away the television. He took away the newspaper. He took away the people. And I would come out on Tuesday for a Tuesday meeting. I would go back in, and I wouldn't come back out again till the next Tuesday. It was a cleansing. And I thought that he left me. You asked me to do this, God. Where are you? But I never starved. I never was thrown out, and I always had a car. But he said, I had to do that to get your attention because I was on a very important assignment. And when I got that, I realized this is not just an assignment. This is a mission for God. My role is to touch and to reach as many mothers and daughters to remind them that God is not pleased. He is not pleased with mothers. Mothers are dropping the ball. Children are raising themselves. And the generations are getting weaker and weaker. And it's got to stop. So I've been chosen to do that. God said there's 840. You want me to finish?
Oh, you can finish.
Okay. God said there's 840,000 babies being born a second. That means my job is to get to as many mothers, especially the young mothers, and let them know that God is sending these children here for a reason, and that is to fulfill the kingdom. They're not sent to play games, sit in front of the television. There's a mission. This whole thing, we are all sent here to fulfill the kingdom and God's mission. And now mothers, we're getting busy. The enemy is getting everybody so caught up with foreclosures and job loss and no money, and they're moving everywhere but to God. The only source is God. He can provide all those things for you, but we get so caught up in what is happening in the physical that we are not focusing on the spiritual, and that is my role. So, yes, it has taken me places. It has taken me to the head of a nation to represent the nation for Aboriginal people. So I'm excited. If you wait on God, even though you go to the valleys, just hold on. He said, I'll put you over nations, and that he has done.
Okay.
When I decided that I should do it, he would do it. Thank you. I am so honored today.
Okay. Ajanae, did you have a question before I go to one of our callers?
Yes, I did. I have a question. Dr. Bessie, what was your inspiration to start this organization, and why is it so important to you?
Well, like I said earlier, I was just asked. I had no idea, never thought about mother and daughter relationships to that degree. When God asked me to do it, I thought, oh, wow, I can do that. I was a corporate trainer. I was all over the place. In fact, I was on a training job at that time. I traveled the world, international, doing training, doing what I do. When he asked me, I thought, this is good, which it was. But I didn't, it took me a while to really get what he asked me to do. And when I got it, I fell on my knees and I started crying. I said, God, that's a lot of responsibility. I mean, you know, are you asking me? So I questioned it for a long time because I wasn't sure. I'm like, me? But I'm the chosen one. And once I received it, things started happening the way God wanted it to happen. Then God gave us the first Mother and Daughter Bonding magazine, the first Mother and Daughter Bonding Center, the first Mother and Daughter Bonding radio program. We're on Blog Talk Radio every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. He gave us the first Mother and Daughter Talk Show that's coming out the 1st of January. We'll be on major stations now. So with all of that, and then we have Mother and Daughter Bonding products and my books. All of that took all these years to prepare. And last weekend, he just showed up and showed out and put everything in its perspective place. So all of that waiting, and that's why I tell people, if you wait on God, he will show up. He will show up. So I didn't plan it. He selected me long before I came here. It is my journey. It is my role I have to play. It's not an easy one because that means, you know, persecution does come, but my job is to speak to everybody I know and remind them that mother and daughter relationship is the most important relationship to the family, because that daughter will produce another family, and she needs to be prepared. Okay? Did that answer your question? Hello?
Hello?
I said, did that answer your question?
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Okay, we have another caller, Ms. Natasha.
Hi, Dr. Bessie. This is Natasha. How are you?
I'm just wonderful, Natasha. How are you?
I'm good. I have two questions for you. My first question was, with the mother and daughter groups that you work with, does it matter if it's just a mother and daughter relationship without a father in the home or with the father in the home? Do you work with both? Or do you have a preference for which one you work with?
Oh, no. I work with both. It could be a mother and a daughter. Or I've worked with mothers that have sons. Now, my daughter has sons. So, you know, it can't eliminate mothers that have sons because a mother that has sons is a daughter, and she is still working with, sometimes her mother's still living, and she's still dealing with issues that she has unresolved issues with her mother, or her mother may be dead, but she's still dealing with those issues. And as a clinical Christian psychologist, I can deal with that mother and help her deal with her issues and come to some resolve of her past mother and daughter relationship, which will affect her relationship with her son or her daughter. So whether it's and when the father's in the home, usually I go into the home to do the counseling. So when I start out with the mother and daughter, I've had mothers call me and say, I have a son. Can you help me with my relationship with my son? And then it incorporates the father. Because somewhere along the line, the question is going to come up that's going to draw them into the conversation. So then it becomes a family therapy where it started out maybe to be a mother and daughter or a mother and son. But I don't have a preference, no. I just do the work.
Okay, thank you so much. And my second question for you would be, out of working with so many mother and daughter teams, which one did you say had the most impact on you? Like, which one did you say, like, truly was a joy that you were able to work with and truly the situation turned around for the good?
Every last one of them. And I'm not trying to be funny. Every last one of them, because when I go in ministering the spirit. But I can tell you a story that stuck out, the one mother and daughter story that I tell everywhere I go. And the reason why I tell that is because it shocked me and it shocked the room. We were at the convention center. And we had a 12-year-old young lady that started crying before the conference began. And making a long story short, I was trying to get to the bottom of it, and she kept telling me her mother didn't like her, and she didn't realize why they were there. And I realized she had two brothers. She said she was in the middle, and so I thought it was a middle child kind of a thing, and that wasn't it. And she said, no, really, you're not listening. My mother doesn't like me. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I've never met a mother and daughter. I've never met a mother that didn't like a child. I couldn't conceive that. So I kept talking. I kept going past what she was saying to me, and finally it dawned on me, she's really saying her mother doesn't like her. So when I asked the mother hesitated for a while, but after constantly asking her, she finally admitted, no, I don't like her. I never liked her. I didn't want her. So now you know the truth. That's what she told the child. Well, it paralyzed every mother in there. And with that being said, it took a while for us to get through that. We had to move from the conference. We got some things settled that day, but it went into one-on-one counseling. But I'm proud to say they got through it. It took near-death experience to heal that relationship. But the mother really didn't want a daughter, because she didn't want the daughter to know that she had been molested by every man that came into their home. And her thing was not that she didn't love the daughter, it's just that she didn't want her daughter to ever experience what she had gone through. And that, to me, has been the most traumatic story. And that's in a nutshell. But to go through the whole experience, it has affected me. Every time I go to a conference, I mention that. Because it actually altered me. I couldn't imagine when she said that when they put the baby on my stomach, I looked at the baby And the baby looked at me, and she said, I knew it was going to be war. That took my heart out because I knew she would not accept that baby in her arms. Every mother reached out to get their baby that I knew of and looked in that baby's eyes and got that hit in their heart of love, that bonding, that connection. She would not touch the baby. She just let the baby lay on her stomach. And the baby for 9 months knew that she kept telling the doctor, I don't want a girl. Tell me I don't have a girl. You know, and the baby grew with those thoughts. And when she came out, they're looking at each other. And she said, I knew it was going to be war. And that was the beginning of a miserable life for a 12-year-old.
Wow. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
Okay, we're going to go to another commercial break. Azanae, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. Sorry about that. You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Masterminders Association. We have the Young Millionaires in Action. Our guest today is Dr. Bessie Fletcher. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web or join us by calling into the show 661-554-9219. If you want to communicate with us while we're talking, just press 1, or you can also join us in the chat room, or you can log on to your Facebook account.
Thank you, Azanae. We have another caller with a question, Ms. Nefreda.
Good afternoon, everybody. I don't really have a question, more of a comment. I just wanted to say that the guest today, I believe her name is Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Dr. Fletcher, just wanted to tell you that it is a refreshing blessing to hear your energy and your commitment to something that people do not really pay a whole lot of attention to until it's too late. And I just want to thank God for giving you the mind to do this, the determination to do this, the strength and the energy to continue to push forward. I think that your energy alone is what incites your participants or your guests that become a part of your organization, because it is what will drive anyone, because I can hear it just listening to you over the phone. I've never met you before, and yet I hear the passion in your voice and in your explanation of the story. So the young ladies and young men, if there are any on the call, please take it heed to what she's sharing and how important your family is and the relationship with your parents, because it also leads to the type of lifestyle you're setting up for yourself. So thank you so much, Dr. Fletcher, for being a blessing to so many, and all that you will continue to do, and also instilling in our youth that they can dream and become and do anything they desire at any age. And I just want to thank you for your commitment. So that's the only comment I had. And great job, everybody.
Well, the only comment is a good comment, because, you know, when you're on this journey and you're working and you don't know if you're doing it all right, and you're asking God to help you, you know, I need to have encouragement too. I need people to say what she said to me. That gives me the energy. I tell people, you don't have to pay me money, but the comment that you just gave me give me the energy to run on and to keep going, because you're saying to me, keep going, you're doing okay, keep going, and I thank you for that. That's more valuable than anything else I could have gotten today. Thank you.
Well, you are more than welcome, because you are a true blessing. You're one that has taken up your calling from God. So many of us get our calling, but because our flesh wants to do something else, we totally ignore our spirit. So I just want to thank you for being obedient, because obedience is the key to serving God, and you are being obedient, and that is why you're getting the blessings that you're getting from Him, because only He can open up the doors that have been open for you thus far, just listening to your stories and allowing the people that are in need to come to you the way they're coming, because you have opened up yourself to receive them. So you've got to be in a position to receive them. If you don't receive them, then of course they're not going to come, but your spirit is open to say, listen, I'm here to help. You know, somebody's spirit greets you long before the handshake does. So, so your spirit is welcoming. And so that's a blessing in and of itself, just to have a spirit of willingness. And that is what I'm hearing from you just on the short period of time I've been on the call. So congratulations on a job well done and all that you will do throughout this nation in terms of this issue. And you're building a much better future for those of us who are here trying to do it. I am a single mom. I have two daughters. One of them just turned 19 and is in college. Both of them are scholars. One of them, you know, has her own mind, does her own thing, but I remained her mommy. You know, I need her to know that I still love her. I may not agree with everything that you've decided to do, but I'm still your mom. And the other one is 26 and doing wonderful, is taking care of herself, self-sufficient, and very, very, doing very, very well. And I'm proud of both of them, and I make sure that I say that to both of them continuously. And when I think of them, I send them texts or emails to let them know that I'm thinking of them and I love them, so that there is always a lot of open communication between me and my daughter. So I really must applaud and give you kudos for what you're saying today, because it has really meant a lot to me. So I don't want to take up the whole rest of the show. There's some others that have some questions for you as well, and I want to continue to enjoy what you're saying. So congratulations again, and thank you so much for sharing.
All right. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, too, my love.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that comment, Ms. Mifreda. We have another caller, Ms. Sharon.
Thank you. I just thank you very much. My mother is 92, heading to be 93, and she's always told us, if you're going to have children, you have to understand that your life is not your own until they are grown.
Right.
That your job is to totally focus on their welfare. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I look at young people. Not young people, just people. And that was one of the things my mother always used to show us. She said, see, that's the problem with them in their life. She's trying to have a life. She's trying to enjoy a life that is exclusionary of her kids, and therein lies the problem. And it's hard to talk to people and get them to understand. So I'm glad that you have taken this on. And I'm glad that you're talking to people. Now the one thing that my mom, she ruled with an iron hand, an iron fist. I mean, literally, I just started telling Mom some of the stuff that I snuck and did when I was a teenager because, shoot, even at 70, my mom would run you around the house. So, I mean, I heard you when you said open communication is fine. Is great, and it's something that we never have with Mom. It was, you know, you do what I said because I said it.
Right.
In terms of her, being dedicated to us, you couldn't find a more dedicated woman. But it was one way of doing things, and that was it.
And she got that from her mother. 9 times out of 10, she got it from her mother. We do as our mother, and if you notice, the way you raise your children, you'll say something, you'll say, wow, that sounds just like my mother.
Yes.
We do what we've been taught and what we learned, even though we make some changes, because we always think we're going to do it better than our mother, but we end up, the older we get, turning right back into our mothers.
Well, yes, it did, and I just wanted to make sure that you understood that I have thoroughly enjoyed. I think that your course, I'm going to tell you that I listened to your comment about when God talked to you. And most people don't get that experience.
Huh?
You know, to have trained your mind so that God can talk to you so strongly and that you hear it so strongly until you think he's sitting right behind you. I think that is, you know, it's important for us to all train our minds like that. I mean, that is absolutely part of the mastermind. And so it's the conversation is strong and interesting on a lot of different fronts. I think that was really what I wanted to say. There's a lot in here that needs to be captured. you know, and if I were taking that, making an outline, there's like five major points that you have said that you could expound on and have a whole show on.
Right. Well, you know, when I was a little girl, I'm going to take you back, I used to hear God speak to me. And I didn't understand it because of the church that I was in at the time. When I say that, you know, no one talked the way that I was being talked to by God. I didn't hear that. I didn't know what to do with it. But I would always go to my mother. And thank God I'm an only child, so thank God I had parents that would listen to me. But I would always say to my mother, Mother, this is going to happen. Something told me. That's almost the way I would say it. Something told me this, and I would make these predictions. So I got a little afraid because I didn't want to be pointed out by other children. But God has always told me things that have revealed themselves in the future. And the older I've gotten, I realized that was my calling, and I would know in my mind, and people say, well, you always say God said. And I'm saying, well, that's because he did. You know, I can't answer for anybody else, but he's always spoke to me in such a strong voice and as if someone is standing beside me. And I didn't realize how precious that was until I've gotten this last assignment, because it's very important that I hear what he says and do what he says. And I have not always done what he said because, you know why? You know, the humans want to kick in and you got things you think you're doing. Until one day he stopped me and he says, I want you to be ordained as a minister. And I was like, Lord, you know, I don't have time to go to school. Even with the PhD, I kept saying I don't have time. He said, whose time are you on? Whose air are you breathing? Can you make a hand? Can you make muscle, bone, blood? No. Then whose time are you on? All that you do belongs to me. That's when I got it. I said, you know what? You're right. So I had to train myself from start being a busybody. I mean, I'm telling you, if I'd have always been doing 15 to 20 things at one time, I felt like I wasn't living. But when I realized my only call was mothers and daughters, and I resubmitted myself back to God, and I said, whatever you want me to do, I don't do nothing but mothers and daughters. If it's not mother and daughter related, I tell people I can't get involved because I am going to stay focused. I do not want to go back and get the spankings that I've gotten before from simply trying to do a little Bessie, which none of that had anything to do with this mission that God has me on. Once I got focused and stayed on that journey and staying on the journey, now I'm seeing the windows of heaven open. Now I'm seeing the blessings catching up with me. And this is all I tell, and when I'm out there talking to mothers and daughters, stay focused on what he's telling you. Don't try to save the whole world. Just do your part, because your part is a part of the big, the whole. And if everybody would just do their part and their mission in which they're sent, God's kingdom was going to be fulfilled much quicker. So because I'm doing a little Bessie, I'm holding up the process. And God even said to me, for those who hold up my process, I will put them to sleep because my work will be done. I said, Lord, have no problem with me. I don't want to go to sleep. So all of you mothers out there, focus on your children. You are sent here as a mother first. All this career stuff, come in if you can. But your main focus is on the children. That's what you are, a mother. And like your mother told you, your life is not your own. You have a responsibility, and God is going to hold every mother accountable when you get there. So be careful. I may have gone off on a tangent there, but, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell me to tell you something. Hello?
Dr. Bessie?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, we're wrapping up now. We want to thank our guest, Dr. Bessie Fletcher, for being with us on the show today. We're going to give her a minute to tell us her website and contact information.
Okay. I want to say thank you, and I cannot get off of this radio program without saying that Kayana is very dear to me. She's been in my life about 5 years. She's the love of my life. She is like my granddaughter, and I'm so honored to see you growing, because Kayana is affected by a lot of positive women, and she has a great, great mother. And I see how she's growing and developing. And when she asked me to be on the program, it's about the most honored thing that has ever happened to me. And I thank you. I thank you for asking me. And I thank the group for believing in you enough to have me as a guest. So I love you guys. I love what you all are doing. I love the fact that the Mastermind, International Mastermind group together, and how you all are affecting other people. And I just hope that we can come together and do some projects together. But I'll tell you this, we have the Ask Dr. Bessie Show. Go to askdrbessie.show.com. That's askdrbessieshow.com. There you will see and hear our radio program, which is Blog Talk Radio, on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock. You can call in at 347-539-5078. That's 347-539-5078. We'd love to have you join the conversation with us. Very similar to this, just mothers and daughters talking about our progress and where we are. And you can go to our mother and daughter website at mdbn.org. That's M as in mother, D as in daughter, B as in bonding, N as in network.org. There you will see all of the events that we have coming up and our major calendar for next year. The Mother and Daughter Bonding Ask Dr. Bessie Show will start January 1st. If you have a story and you want to be on our television show, you can email me at drbessie1@gmail.com. That's D-R-B-E-S-S-I-E, the number 1@gmail.com. Tell me a little bit about your story. We'll be glad to have you on. Thank you so very much, Kayana. I love you.
Thank you. I am Kayana Robinson and my co-host, Ajahnay Mason. We are the Young Millionaires in Action. Please join us December 2nd, 2012 at 5 p.m. for our next Blog Talk Radio show. Thank you for listening and have a blessed week.